to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
But where is their knowledge coming from? It's not just coming from somewhere. It is coming from their knowledge of the scriptures. They had been taught. Like we are doing now, we are teaching you. So when you are praying, have faith, have confidence, have boldness that you are praying to the omnipotent God, the God of heaven and earth, the God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that. And Moses tells us in Genesis chapter 1, if you are in this church, we've gone over it, read it. He says, it's an exciting place to begin your Christian journey to and to know about God. Hallelujah. He made everything. And so he can contain everything for us and say, whom by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? So once again, the scriptures, their knowledge. And the point that I want us to notice here is that if you look at the context, it's not saying that Peter prayed or John prayed. He said they lifted up their voices. I hope you are getting it. The collective sense with which they were praying, the collective knowledge, wisdom, and understanding with which they were approaching the exercise. So it's not like somebody is praying, so and then somebody is praying, and then the Pastor Francis, Pastor Jeff, a prayer and a chenodo. They're not on the same page. Because the prayer points that is, we can't connect with the prayer points because you are not praying. You are not reading the word. So you lack the, I hope you are getting it. So this prayer thing that we are talking about, this collective sense of belonging to the fellowship, it's so important for us to grow together so that our prayers can have maximum effect. We'll see what happened at the tail end. Why? Because they prayed together. And together they were praying with meaning and understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. You heard it. So then, just in case you missed it, go to 24 again. So when they heard that, after Peter and John gave them the report at what had transpired, when they were summoned and then brought before the Sanhedrin, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, it's not Peter who said, though, together, the 120 plus people we are assuming were in that room, they together raised, and look at the things that they are saying. It means that all the people there believe that God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. How? They had been taught. Amen. They had been taught. They had come to understand, they had come up to appreciate that the God that we are serving. Remember, at this stage, they had a vision spelled out clearly. God says that you go out there, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Go out there, go offer them pardon. Go offer them, tell them that Jesus has paid the price. There is no more charge against those who believe. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be reconciled to God. You will be restored in fellowship with God. And when you die, because you will die, you will come before God and you will not be judged. You would have passed over from judgment and you will get the opportunity to enjoy eternal life with God. Amen. So these truths have been spelled out and they understood it. And so Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. So they are all on one page. Then 25, I said, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Look, you will go through suffering as a believer. Say a big amen. Amen. It is a part of it. People who don't believe will not like you. For the young people, they won't like you in school. You can do your best. They won't like you. If you begin to see that you have the Spirit of God, you are praying and say, yeah, you go to church and all that, they will do everything to corrupt you. So, and all, every one of us will experience various shades and various colors of persecution or suffering until we die. Not when you finish school, not when you get married, not when you become the CEO and then you are, no. It is a lifelong, if you like, package of suffering for the sake of the gospel. And because of the mission and the assignment, there's a certain kind of lifestyle that God has called us to that, if you like, people get a little bit, should I say, allergic about it. Your lifestyle, it makes them develop allergy because it's a corrupt world. Hallelujah. And the lifestyle that we are living, it is countercultural. So that's it. They will plot vain things. Like you said, the people, they plot vain things. Vain because God, that's why they made the preamble that God, you are God of heaven and earth. You made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that. So wherever you are, you can see, you can hear. You are omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent over all the entire universe. All the things that they are plotting, you can see it. You can hear their conversations. Hey, so when you are working and partnering with God and there are some witches in some covens and they are plotting and they have downloaded your DP from your Facebook page and they have sent it to all the wizards in your village and then you are hearing it and then you say, God, who made the heavens and the earth? Who sees every village in this universe? You heard Isaiah talking about him in Isaiah 40. I like it. It's one of my favorite passages. He said he sits above the circle of the earth. Hallelujah. And the nations are like a drop of water in a bucket before him. And the people, you and I, so they are like grasshoppers before him. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah would say, have you not heard? God was talking. Have you not heard? Have you not known? And God, he is the creator of the entire universe. Amen. So all these things helps you. He says, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? 26 says, the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Another verse was also that your counsel predetermined. Hallelujah. More or less, more they are recapping here is that Jesus lived out a life that was scripted for him by God. You think your life is not being scripted? Or you believe your life has been scripted? I believe my life has been scripted. I believe all the things that has happened to my life up till now, oh my God, is part of the script. Maybe there may have been seasons that I cooperated and definitely seasons that I didn't cooperate, just like you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we all want to work on, hey, we all want a good life. You saw Jesus' life. Hallelujah. At least in Gethsemane, he gives us a shadow that, look, as for this portion of the script, Papa, if it could be edited, to be fine. I don't want to go to the cross, you know, and in shame and all that. And can you do something about it? The script was that they will strip him naked and you go on the cross. And Jesus was arguing with God. And God said, no, I just want you to do it. And I said, okay. let thy will be done. Amen. You are on a vision, you are subscribed to the vision of God, you are on a mission for God, your life won't be scripted. Amen. Your life is scripted, and you must cooperate with God. It is what makes our prayer lives, our cries, our intercessions, it is what makes it effective. Else, you are out of place. And when you are out of place, your prayers are frustrated because you are not praying in the will of God. And the more you do that, the more God refuses to answer your prayers because he's sovereign. The more you get frustrated, the more likely it is that you leave the prayer chamber. And you leave the place of prayer. You stop visiting the place of prayer. You won't enjoy prayer because you are not cooperating with the vision that God has, the global vision that he has for his world, and the specific mission and assignment that he has for you and I as born servants of his. Hallelujah. Amen. So verse 28 is very important. It says, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determine before to be done. What happened to Jesus? The prayer here, the understanding. And Jesus took time to educate them. I didn't come here on my own. And sometimes those of us, as I was meditating on some of these truths, it just dawned on me. Sometimes we think, yes, fine. Hallelujah. You are here as a pharmacist. Praise God. Jesus too was a carpenter. So sometimes we think, no, I'm here to be a pharmacist. Who told you? Amen. Jesus lived his life as a carpenter. For 30 years, until the age of 30, he lived as a carpenter. It was part of the script. So God's in the script of God for your life, you and I will live lives as a lawyer, as a banker, as a pharmacist, as a doctor, as a politician. But the time will come in the fullness of time that you place certain demands on you for the kingdom's sake. Amen. And I like the sequence. Hallelujah. I like the sequence before he died and went to, you know, like as we said, to heaven. Oh, chapter 2 of our life. This one first, and then hallelujah. We don't know the reason why all the gospel writers, they never gave us an idea about Jesus' life as a carpenter. You, nobody will remember your life as a pharmacist. There are a lot of pharmacists that, amen, they will forget you. It has no place, has no relevance where we are going. Amen. It's a very small aspect of the script of God for our lives. There's a mission. There's a vision. All must come to get to know him. Go ye. That's what he said. Go ye into the world and make disciples of all the nations. To teach and what? To do. That we can live God-honoring lives for God in this world. Amen. So for a moment, let's not fixate our minds so much and think that our whole world will be defined by how best we undertake our secular assignment to the detriment of the kingdom assignment. I believe that, this one is speculation. I believe that if we went to Nazareth in Jesus' day before he ventured on into ministry, they would tell you he was the best carpenter in town. Well, I thought that, yeah, an amen for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Simply because of the fruit of the Holy Ghost in his life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so must you. Why? Because you know you are here on a mission. You are here on a mission. You and I, we are here on a mission. Hallelujah. Amen. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Then now, 29, they say, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. More or less, we will not deviate away from the mission. Grant, look at their threats. Look at what is happening. And then grant us that holy boldness that we live so that we will not disappoint you. That is what they are saying. There is a mission. There is antagonism. There is opposition. But we are praying that we will not be swayed by their threats. Why? Because you are sovereign. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient. You are omnipresent. You created the heavens and the sea and all that is in them. None can withstand your power and your authority anytime that you decide to wield it. So the believer in the place of prayer, you see the bold prayers, as they call it, bold, audacious prayers that they are praying, and it's all based on knowledge and understanding of God and you and I, you know, where we come in and why we are here or who we are and what we are here to do for the kingdom. Yes, we are practicing law, we are practicing medicine, but then it is a combination. It's part of a whole thing, a wholesome thing. Hallelujah. So that we don't push our Christian lives aside to be picked up when we are marching to church. And then we dump it, you know, immediately we leave the gates of the church and then we go and put on our pharmacy coat. Hallelujah. I'm looking at a certain pharmacist here, so maybe that's why I'm using. I can see a nurse here. I'll go there now. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, now look on their threat and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. Now look at 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. Why are they praying this? Remember when we looked at chapter number 1, hallelujah, amen. One of the things that we saw was that Jesus did what? He gave them proofs, infallible proofs, signs and tokens that he is alive. They had experienced it. You see why the whole thing is important? Amen. Hallelujah. You can't pray for signs and wonders when you have never experienced. You say it doesn't exist. So they are not just praying empty prayers. So that's why it all begins by when you do it, and then when you teach it, you do it and teach it, you do it and teach it. Amen. You are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, because the signs, when it comes to signs and wonders, as believers, we can't manufacture signs and wonders. So we can last for it, we can wish for it, we can pray for it, but its manifestation depends on God. He is the supernatural. We will do the natural part and we leave it to him. But what we have been arguing all along, you know, for some time now, is that when you have the foundations right, the ABCs right, signs and wonders will follow you, because you need it to anchor your faith. How can you go out there and say Jesus is alive? In the mission, I like the way he put it to or Luke captures. He said, go out there. Matthew said that, go into the world. And then in Luke captures, he said, you are my witnesses that I am alive. Ye are my witnesses. Go out there and tell them that there is resurrection after death. And a witness must have credible evidence. Before you can mount the witness stand, you have seen it, but you've not had any occasion to be able to sample the signs and the wonders and the tokens of the kingdom. So how? And my argument is, why is God who gives sister A signs, tokens, and wonders? You are both born again, but you won't give you. No. God doesn't discriminate. We all need the signs and the wonders. There's something that sister A is doing that you are not doing, that you must learn. And do it, and the signs and wonders, they will explode in your life. I thought I'll hear an amen for that. God wants to show himself, that one, the onus lies on him to reveal himself to us. We can't find, where can you find God? Like Psalm 139, and David cries, where are you? You can't find him. But God can find us, he can locate us. And the Bible is very clear. He gave them the tokens, the signs, and the wonders. The proofs that they needed, he said, by many infallible proofs. By many infallible proofs. It cannot be argued out. It happened. Because it boosts your faith. So when you are standing in prayer, you know that God will bring signs and wonders in your life. So your prayers must be meaningful. It must be connected with the word of God and what God has done in the past and what God has promised. It is, our prayers are much more effective when it is premised on the promises of God. The promises of God. God, you said it. So you do it. We do our part. But you do that. You do the supernatural part. He said, when we do that, you stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy son, Jesus Christ. Now look at 31. And when they had prayed, this collective prayer, it wasn't Peter, It wasn't John who prayed. All of them that were gathered, they prayed in unison. They prayed with one accord. And the place where they were assembled together was shaking. I don't know how they're shaking, but shaking is shaking. Hallelujah. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in chapter 2, they were the same people who were there in the upper room and they were praying. Because Jesus had said, wait. And they were praying. That time, they were not praying in tongues. They were praying. The Holy Spirit, the fire baptism had not come upon them. So they were praying. So it doesn't matter. Pray with the understanding. Pray with the understanding. One of these days, God will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When the fires are burning within you, you can't shut up. And we need the fires to go out there and be witnesses. Say, ye are my witnesses. You can't cease talking about God. Your life's everything and God. And God, and it is true, is God. So you can't shut up about it. And God did this for me. And God did that for me. Oh, how I love God. Praise the Lord. And they are looking at me, who is this? When the fire is not there, you are afraid. We get to some, you don't want them to know that you belong to Jesus. You see, how do you Jesus in my home? But when the fires are burning, who cares? It just comes out just like that. Even when you don't want it, it will betray you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So where they were assembled together, I was shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word. Now you see what the effects were. And they spoke the word of God. What? With boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me quickly read through 32 to the end. And then maybe another time we'll pick it up. It says, the togetherness. Now the multitude of those who believed were what? Of one heart. One soul. Amen. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So one heart, one soul, there was unity, there was selflessness. Hallelujah. Amen. And with great power, so now the power is also what was there, isn't it? With great power, the apostles gave witness. Remember, he said, ye are my witnesses. And with great power, but they needed power. Now the Holy Ghost came and then he filled them, the infilling, the top up. As I said, Acts chapter 2, they had been baptized with the fires of the Lord, but it will run dry. So one encounter is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. There are a lot of us, yes, once upon a time, the fires of the Lord came on you and then you began to speak in tongues and, hey, man, what about now? We need a top up. And that's what the fellowship provides. The top up within the context of the fellowship where we are worshiping together, we are assembling together and doing the things of God, if you like, rehearsing, going over the vision that God has for us as a church, as a community of people. I'm talking about the universal church and then the mission, and then we are praying about it, and then God, the Holy Spirit, fills us up. And then you get your portion. But the more you absent yourself from the gathering of the saints, and in a way you are saying that you don't belong, you don't want to be one. And remember, it's not pastor who is the head of the church. It's the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So me, I don't know why I didn't come to church. But God knows. And he will wrestle with you. That's how people stay away from church. He will wrestle with you. Those of us who can, we don't like the wrestling with the Lord. You've learned it. You just so you, when it's time, you don't even debate. I'm going to church. I want peace, and I want joy. Hallelujah, because you know that the head of the church, the Master, the Holy Spirit, given to supervise us, supervise your life, and make sure that he brings you to heaven. Just like Jesus, he was there till he ascended to heaven. He was there. He brought Jesus Christ up from the grave. And he's with you and in you. And he won't leave you. He takes his if you like, his duty serious. So the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. That's why he teaches us discipline. How could Jesus have done that without discipline? So we must learn how to be disciplined. You want to get to heaven at no cost, no cross, no shame, no price? No. It's not scriptural. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that they were sold. So we see generosity, we see kindness, we see goodness at work. And then they lay them down at the apostles' feet and they distributed to each other as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. So we'll end here and then we'll continue the next time we meet. Hallelujah. But then the point is, God wants us to come together. He has a corporate vision for us. It's a universal one for all the church. Amen. And he has a mission. He has a mission, certain steps that we must take. Like we always say, when God calls, he equips. When he calls us, he'll spell out the vision for us and the mission. And he'll give us strategies. He'll give us strategies. And some of the strategies are where we pray. Prayer is a strategy to help us fulfill the vision and the mission. Amen. Fellowshipping is a strategy that will help us be able to undertake the assignment and fulfill God's vision. Worship. We said we're Friday, we're having a worship night. It is part of the strategy. Trusting that God will visit us and fill us and energize us and bring those realities that we need, hallelujah, to know that indeed God is alive and we are not serving a dead God. When we come to, you know, into some of these meetings, God is sovereign and he has his own unique way of revealing himself, if you like, customized revelation to everyone. So somebody will come for that worship night and will leave and say, I met God. God showed himself to me. I never heard the voice of God. But during the worship, one line in the worship song just jumped into my heart and it's just reverberating in my spirit. And I know that God is speaking to me because I was going through a challenge. And that line in the song, it's as if I heard God. Yes, that's how he does it. Somebody could be healed. Somebody could be healed. God can do anything. Somebody could rise up, certain pain, something. God will reveal himself to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. So you give the strategies, that's what we work out during the Bible studies. Another critical strategy. We come together and we are looking in the words, one verse, and then boom, somebody brings their understanding, boom, that they have learned. Remember we said what? To do it and to teach it. Do and teach, do and teach. So we are teaching each other. Anytime that I sit in the Bible study or somebody else is preaching and I'm sitting down, we learn. I'm not the only one who, I pick a lot. Amen. I pick a lot when other people are preaching and teaching and then even the child. Yesterday, as I was teaching us, Auntie Amanda was teaching us on campus and you should have heard some of the things they were teaching us. So we learn from each other. It's another strategy. Hallelujah. The fasting, Another critical strategy, isn't it? Help! God, help! Help! And you know that your voice is being heard on high.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.